The Indian Mojo Show!
My fellow Americans, on this election eve, I want to welcome you all to the Jacked Up Indy and Mojo Show. Now, some of you may know me as Mojo Monkey 12, but did you also know that without these two other fine, fine, outstanding men that helped me do this podcast week in and week out, you would be stuck listening to me, and that would be something, frankly, my fellow Americans, that nobody should have to suffer through. So, as we go forward, choosing a leader for our great nation, I want to welcome you all to the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. Daniel Jones, how you doing?
Finally, priorities are straight.
I know.
I'm good. Vote for me, America. I will give you all burritos.
Yes, give us your campaign in 30 seconds.
Okay. I will replace the Constitution with all Anchorman quotes, and I will hire Will Ferrell to be my Secretary of State, and the country will be better for it. Thank you.
Okay, so you heard that. Daniel Jones is going to have Will Ferrell as his Secretary, and he's going to buy donuts or something else. Our other great candidate, Jack Gardner, I think is also a viable option. Jack, first of all, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
That's good to hear. If you could spend just a few moments telling our listeners why it is you should be leading this great nation, would you please do that for us?
My fellow Americans, if you vote for me, I will abolish all government and give you the zombie apocalypse you've always wanted.
We have breaking news, folks. It seems that we are now projecting a winner. Jack Gardner, that was brilliant, and a winner is you. We've been training for the zombie apocalypse our entire lives. Now is the time to rise up, get our assault weapons, get our homemade brain drainers, and go to work on this vile, vile, apocalyptic nightmare that faces us all. We can do it.
And the best part about it, I will not increase taxes.
That's right. I think it's fine to say that we now give you the winner. And we would like to introduce the 51st episode with our new president, Jack Gardner. Jack, welcome to the free world.
I want a recount.
All right, hanging chads recounts. Well, that was fun, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back on to serious.
That's something that happened.
It was. We've been absent, Jack and Daniel, for a few weeks now. A lot of things have happened. We finished Extra Life, and we all have done things.
Crap, that ended?
That did.
I've been playing video games for weeks straight now. I thought it was still going.
Well, you think that's bad. Like, 3 weeks ago, I finally just realized that I could take my... Never mind, I don't know where I was going with that. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I as usual. Anyway, so I haven't talked to you guys in quite some time. I know you both have had some cool things going on, including video games and hurricanes and shaggy manes. So let's talk about our lives. Jack, how you been? You don't call, you don't write. I never see you anymore.
I know. I'm sorry. I've been out and about. My social life has been a little bit more vibrant than it has of late.
So what's her name?
She doesn't have a name unless Halloween parties count as a girl. I don't think they do, though. At least not in my state.
Okay.
And
did you come
in Minnesota, though?
I'm sorry. I just had to stop and think about what just came out of my mouth. That was a really weird thing to say. Anyway, I went to a bunch of parties. It was fun. I played Guitar Hero for the first time in a couple years, and I realized that your memories of how good you are at Guitar Hero do not measure up to the fact of how good you are at Guitar Hero.
Well, Jack, maybe there was a reason. Were you wearing a costume that maybe inhibited your ability to rock on?
Oh, no, I took that off, because Guitar Hero is serious business. And I'm pretty sure I pulled a muscle in my arm from playing Guitar Hero.
So what were you? What did you take off?
It was a box.
You were wearing a box?
Just a cardboard box.
Okay, that's a great costume, Jack. Okay, carry on.
Because I'm a Jack in the Box.
Yes, I get it. That was funny. That's actually very funny.
I didn't get it. That is funny.
I didn't get it either. I just wanted to sound smart.
If there's one thing you can always count on Halloween, it's a good pun.
That's for sure.
But other than that, I've been seeing some movies recently. I went out and I saw Silent Hill 3D.
Nice. And that movie is excellent.
And I also saw Wreck-It Ralph. So it made a good...
Okay.
It made a good comparison for the two, because one is completely awful, and the other is heartwarming and charming, and you see that pyramid head, and you just want to give him a big old hug.
Nice.
Dan,
but have
seriously,
you seen those movies?
Say what?
Have you seen either of those movies?
I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay. Well, you fellows will have to tell me all about that. But Jack, so you liked Silent Hill much better than I take it?
No, I was making a joke. Don't go see Silent Hill. Don't go to Silent Hill.
Okay.
Even in
2D? Even in
2D, it wouldn't. Honestly, the 3D didn't add a whole lot to the movie besides a few poorly done moments, and. Honestly, the coolest thing about the movie is about halfway in, there's like this mannequin spider monster that looks really, really cool, but then they never do anything with it, and it really kind of made me sad, because that was the coolest thing in the film. And then the story made no sense, characters didn't behave like human beings do, they behaved like weird robots that fall in love with everything that they see, and, then there was some subplot about a demon monster that they threw in like the last 5 minutes of the movie. And then Pyramid Head is a good guy, apparently.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Pyramid Head is a good guy.
Wow.
Sort of.
Okay. So it is like Wreck-It Ralph.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. Okay, wait. One of the strangest parts of the movie is... one of the characters is this guy that grew up in Silent Hill, in the town of Silent Hill, and everyone else that lives there is, like, horribly disfigured or, like, completely crazy or both, and for some reason this guy growing up in that environment is totally normal. Like, the most vanilla normal you can be. It was really strange. Anyway.
Yeah, somebody has to be.
Yeah. So, you watched Wreck-It Ralph and saw 3D. You went to some Halloween parties. What else have you been doing? Did you relax at all?
Yeah, I kicked up my heels and I started playing some Chrono Trigger.
Nice.
You might have heard of it. Supposedly one of the best RPGs of all time.
Yeah, I seem to recall something about it once upon a time.
Well, I've been playing it for about 5 hours, maybe.
Okay.
And look, so when you start out Chrono Trigger, you like the very first thing you go to is this fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of stuff to do at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a good, like, 3, maybe 4 hours just running around the fair, seeing what I could do. And then I realized that This was, like, probably a portion of the game that they assumed people would spend, like, maybe 5-10 minutes in. Because if you wanted to, I realized you could just run right through the fair and get through that really fast.
Yeah, but the fair is cool. That's the way those old-school RPGs are supposed to be. You're supposed to stop and talk to everybody. And you're rewarded for it throughout the game in its own way. I mean, not like with powers or prizes, but just with references and whatnot. So it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome because I was just farming that there's like a robot that you can fight at the fair, and it gives you experience and these points that you can spend at different things on the fairgrounds. And I spent all of my points to get more money, and I bought this sweet silver sword. And so when I actually started fighting real monsters, I was just one-hitting everything. It was amazing. Yeah, I really like it.
You're playing it on Android, you said, before the show, right?
Yeah, so I'm playing it on my phone.
So tell me about the control scheme and how does that seem to be working for you?
It works really well. It took me a while to figure out how to switch targets in combat because that's a little bit touchy. But it's all touch screen, and wherever you touch on the screen turns into a D-pad, and you can go different ways. It's actually really smooth and intuitive, I think. And I haven't had a whole lot of problems with it once I kind of figured out how combat works.
I think that's a game that's going to be great on something like the Ouya, whatever that's called, Ouya, where you can have a controller. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool. I've played a couple RPGs on my phone, and they are kind of fun, and they are pretty intuitive, but my fat fingers take up half the screen when I use it as a D-pad, so I just always find myself pining for some sort of actual controller to use. Even on, like, even if I'm using, you know, my iPad, where the screen is much, much bigger, I still end up kind of feeling the same way, because then my whole half my hand is there instead of my thumb. But anyway.
Fair enough.
Daniel, have you ever played Chrono Trigger?
No. There's too much R and too much P and too much G in that.
That's right. I forgot. You're not smart enough for those types of games.
Yep.
So have you made it past the fair yet, then, Jack? Did you venture on?
I have. I met Frog.
Yeah.
Or
Toad, as I like to call him.
I'm not too terribly far into the game yet.
Let me ask you, Jack, when in those types of games, do you ever change the names of the characters, or do you just keep them as they're supposed to be?
You know, when I was really little, I did, and then I just stopped because there's a name already there, and you can only play through an RPG for so long with a name like Poophead or something before it stops being funny and starts being irritating.
When you're fighting Emerald Weapon, you know, with your level 99 character from Final Fantasy VII, and he triumphantly wins, and his name is Dipshit, it just doesn't have the same effect, I agree. Daniel, I know you don't play RPGs, but certainly you've played games where you're able to change the character names. Do you tend to change the names, or do you keep the iconic classic names?
I'm like Jack. I did when I was younger, and I don't anymore.
Yeah, I think I was the same way. The first couple games like that I played, I always changed them, and then I stopped doing that. I mean, like newer games, like, you know, like Mass Effect, where there's not a set name for the character, then yeah, absolutely. But.
And you know, I think with Chrono Trigger, it's one of the few games that I've played where so far it's totally living up to the hype. You know. Where people have told me this is a great game, and I've seen bits of it played before, and I kind of know what's going on already, but it's still really fun, really engaging. I really like it.
Well, you'll have to keep us informed of how you like it as you progress. I think it's a fantastic game. It's one of the reasons I love RPGs. Any other games you've been playing, Jack?
I've been playing The Walking Dead, the Telltale Walking Dead games. I finally got all caught up with those. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
The first four episodes, then?
Yes. And now it's killing me to wait for the next one. But
so now you know what the fuss is all about, but whatever it was.
Now I know what the fuss is all about, and now I know the pain everyone else has been feeling waiting for every single episode. And now I understand why it seems like every episode we talk about The Walking Dead, because it's just that good.
Yeah. Did it live up to the expectations that everybody set on it?
You know, it was I didn't really have any expectations of it. The Steam was having a Halloween sale, and I saw that it was almost half price. So I was like, oh, that's a pretty good deal. And so I got it. And even though you guys have been showering it with praise, adventure games haven't really been my thing, really.
Yeah.
I like Monkey Island. But that's about it. And so going in, I was like, oh, I'll give this a shot. And I really love it. It's awesome. That's all I can say about it.
It's so hard to talk about that game without, you know, spoilers. So it's one of those things where you just, so much to say, but, oh, I just want the fifth episode to come out and play it all the way through and just have a big, long discussion about it. But I think most people that care have played at least the first couple of episodes.
I feel like we should move on for the sake of...
spoilers. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I
think it's a great game, though, and when it comes out, like, on retail disc, anybody that hasn't played it should definitely check it out.
But, so why haven't you guys played episode 4 yet?
I didn't play it because I just kind of got tired of the long wait in between episodes, and the way episode 3 ended, like, episode 3 was really long, and at the end of it, I felt like I liked it a lot. But when I looked back on it, it's not so much that I liked that episode so much. It's just some major shit happened in that episode. So it was, there was times I spent 45 minutes just trying to find the flipping drawing to learn how to turn the train on. But there were a couple major events that were just like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? So the pacing kind of got out of whack to me on that one. So I wanted to wait until 4 and 5 came out, both of them, so I could just finish the story straight through like that.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't played 4. I mean, I have it. It's downloaded on the PS3 and the PC. I just haven't played it, and that's the plan, and I think at this point I may as well stick to it.
Okay.
Well, it's coming out this month, so.
Yeah, it's going to be out pretty soon.
Yeah.
So.
Daniel, you've played it though?
Yes, four? I have.
Okay.
I have.
So you understand my pain right now.
You guys have a private conversation when I go to the bathroom. So Daniel, have you been weathering any storms lately?
A storm called Sandy. It was just a little storm.
Wait a minute, did Sandy hit in San Francisco? I'm really confused by this.
Oh, you see, I took a quick trip back home.
You went
a little bit.
Jack, did Daniel approve that with you?
No, he did not, Jeremy.
And nor did he approve it with me. Daniel, this needs to be a run through. If you don't get approval from Human Resources, you cannot take time off, okay?
We're not mad. We're just disappointed.
Yeah, we're just, we're just coaching you, okay?
I did kind of spring that on you guys, like, the day of.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to go back home. I know you're some of your loved ones, but you were there for the superstorm, so I want to hear.
I was. So my trip was extended by like 4 days because of Sandy. Much of it. Well, I can't say that I didn't have power, but I didn't have video games because my video games are here. So I did have my Vita and I had my phone. So I played two games. I played a lot. I completely finished everything in Rayman Jungle Run on the phone, which is awesome.
Okay. Okay.
If you have a phone and $2, I think, or $1 even, maybe just $1, I don't know. If you have a phone and chump change, get Rayman Jungle Run and beat it over a weekend because it's awesome.
Okay.
And
Sounds liberating.
Yes, good segue. Yeah, and I finished Assassin's Creed Liberation for the Vita, which is, as I've said, it's every bit an Assassin's Creed game. It is not watered down for handhelds. It is Assassin's Creed as you know it. Nice. But it's not on the same scale as Assassin's Creed 3. But in some ways, I liked it more than the big Assassin's Creed because it was more focused. The story wasn't convoluted, and it's maybe not, you know, maybe not your cup of tea, Jeremy, because there's not as much to just fart around and do. but it was definitely a good 8 to 10 hours.
Okay, I like lots of flavors of tea. Yes, I like the ones where I can fart around and do nothing, but I also like, streamlined games. Is Connor the protagonist in this game as well?
No, it's Evelyn de Grand Pré.
Oh.
It's the lady.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in my Game Effect review, which if you haven't read, you should go read it.
Well, I will. I was detoxing for a while, which was
I don't just out. Mean you, but the listeners. I don't care if you read it, really. But it's really strange because she's a really potentially interesting character. She's the daughter of a wealthy businessman in Louisiana in the 1700s, but she's not white. She is half black because he had sex with the slave.
Wait a minute.
That's really interesting. And they sort of explore a little bit with her mother. Not going into spoilers, but they don't.
Is there a vampire involved somewhere in this?
Please. No. but it's so weird because she is clearly mixed race, which at that time in the South would be kind of weird to people, I would imagine. Even though her father, like, loves her and took her in as a daughter, I feel like more people would, like, be a little prejudiced against her. And that didn't happen at all. It didn't come into play. And, like, that, they just didn't have the guts to explore that. Kind of.
So it was a bit of a missed opportunity, you think? Or at least.
I think.
Not
because,
accurate.
We didn't really get into her character. Like, she's so interesting on the surface, but then we learn a little bit about some stuff, but not really about her and how she's feeling and what she had to go through to become what she is now. And, like, she's clearly well respected in the community, but, like, why? And.
Because she can kill people with...
yes.
A flick of
true.
A wrist, that's why.
Yeah, I know.
I see what you're saying, though. She's a mix between a well-to-do person and a black slave, and it's not... She's treated above her birth, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just feel like it was... I mean, it's because it's like, she looks black. She looks black. And every other black person in the game is a slave. Every single other black person in the game is a slave. But she is not. And she helps the slaves, and she can blend in with the slaves, but she can also blend in with the aristocrats, and she gets hit on by white dudes all the time, and it's just strange. There's some strange dynamics. Like, there's hints at, like, rapists, and some other stuff, and there's like these groups of thugs that just randomly attack her when she's dressed as a lady, and when you're dressed as a lady, you can't really defend yourself very well, which is part of my complaint.
Oh, tell me, I know.
No, because you can dress in three different outfits. You can be a lady in a corset and a ball gown, and then you can be a slave, and you can be the assassin. And the slave and assassin are fine because they can do everything that you can do in an Assassin's Creed game. The lady cannot she can't run very fast, she can't fight very well, and she can't climb up anything. So you can't, like, you're not climbing in trees and you're not running across rooftops as the lady, which makes sense, obviously. Like, it's practical, but it's not very fun. So,
okay.
And it's frustrating. But it's still, the game doesn't force you to be the lady very often, but when it does, it's fun. But the rest of it is a lot of fun.
So if you own a Vita and you like Assassin's Creed, give it a shot.
Definitely.
And you also went to go see Wreck-It Ralph.
I did.
I want to hear about that from you guys. Why don't you have a conversation? I'll sit back and listen.
Sure.
Because I haven't seen.
What? Okay. So I went into Wreck-It Ralph thinking, hoping that it would end up like I would like it as much as like Toy Story, but for gamers.
Okay.
And that's pretty much exactly what I came out feeling like. And not like an imitation of Toy Story, because even if it was imitating Toy Story, it still did it really well. And the story was effective, and the characters were fun. What did you think?
I think that's an apt comparison. I went to go see Wreck-It Ralph on the heels of just having seen Silent Hill 3D. And, you know, I think it would be fair to say that Wreck-It Ralph is the best video game movie that's been made so far.
Wow.
I mean, would either of you disagree? Because, I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of competition.
But it's not a traditional video game movie. It's kind of like saying Scott Pilgrim is a video game movie when it's...
Well, but the thing is, like Wreck-It Ralph is a video game character in the movie, and the premise is Wreck-It Ralph is a video game character villain in this game called Fix-It Felix Jr. And the video game characters each live in their own video game cabinet world, like the video game world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in this arcade. And so when the arcade closes down for the night, they can travel between the games and mingle with each other. And basically Ralph gets tired of being treated like he's garbage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guy in the game. And he goes off to become a hero so that people will appreciate him more. And as he goes off to do this, he interacts with all of the other video game characters, and you see, like, there are just so many references to video games
mm-hmm.
in this, I lost count. Like, there's Q-Bert, yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog, Bowser, Street
Konami
Fighter
Code.
2, Konami Code, and tons of Mario Kart references.
Mario Kart, yeah.
Like,
so
I mean,
it's definitely a video game movie, but it's not about a specific video game necessarily.
Gears of War. No.
Gears of War, Halo, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's... to say it's... I would call it a video game movie.
Okay.
Because it's about video games. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I just think it's, I guess in my mind, having not seen it, mind you, that it's, I think it's, it would be more than fair, because I've heard from many people now, and I've seen the reviews, more than fair to say it is the best video game movie probably made, but at the same time, I think it needs to kind of be put in context, because it's able to break some of the rules that the other video game franchises really haven't been able to do, because they kind of have stayed within their own world, so to speak. Nobody told them they had to do that, I guess, but it's, you know, there's a little bit of a difference to me in that regard.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and that's fair. I mean, it can get away with a lot because most of the games in it are fictionalized versions of real games. or parodies. In the case of a game called Heroes Duty.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Daniel, what did you think of it?
Jane Lynch is definitely... Her character is based completely on Anya from Gears of War.
Okay.
Yep. So, Daniel, I'm curious to see what you think about this. Do you think people who have little to no experience with games would enjoy it as much as people that do, that have a lot of experience with games?
Yeah, I do. I don't know. I just know that I went to a theater evening. There were kids there. And I just happened to stumble into the theater. There were kids there, and there was a movie playing. So I went into the theater, and obviously there were kids there with their parents, and I would imagine a lot of those kids haven't ever played many of those games, and I imagine a lot of the parents haven't played many of those games, and it was packed, and it got an ovation at the end of the show.
Really?
Yeah, like a large ovation. It wasn't just like one person clapping.
That's really cool.
Well, I think that the description you said, you know, you said it's like Toy Story, you know, with video game references, and I guess that's kind of how I looked at it, just even in the previews and in the reviews. I looked at it more like that than I did a strict video game movie, I guess, is kind of my thought.
But yeah. It's not, like, it's a similar concept to Toy Story, but it's not a Toy Story ripoff kind of thing. Like, no. It's more, it's its own thing, because it's like, it's not like the arcade characters are jumping out of their machines and walking around the arcade. They're, each cabinet is its own place. So, like, the Heroes Duty machine is like this apocalyptic wasteland. And then this, what was the name of the racing game? Like Street Racer or something like that?
Grand Forza?
No, it was like a candy themed racing game.
Yeah. And that place is like a Candyland made real.
Yeah.
And so you have all these different, wildly different locations and its own imaginative flair for the characters and the story. And my favorite part about it is you can really look at people who made it really loved and respected the material and just had so many references that in the background and just the little touches are really great.
Okay. Well, sounds like a great movie. I'm definitely going to try to check it out sooner rather than later, hopefully while it's still in the theater. And it sounds like you guys both enjoyed it, so if you liked it, and everybody else I've met seems to like it, then I think it's got to be pretty dang good.
Sure.
So, besides playing video games and going to Wreck-It Ralph and surviving a hurricane, Daniel, what have you been up to?
Wait. What are you trying to get out of here?
Nothing. I'm trying to get past. I'm trying to move on.
All right. So why don't we talk about you? What have you been doing? You've been detoxing.
Yeah.
You haven't been online in ages.
I was trying to make sure we're done talking about your last couple of weeks.
I'm done talking about myself.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Everyone wants to hear about the star of this show, Jeremy Brown.
I'm not the star of the show. The Game Informer online community is the star of the show. That sounded really cheesy.
Yeah.
That was.
We couldn't have a show without Daniel. He's the star. Alright, so I've taken a self-imposed offline vacation, I guess you could call it. I just have been spending a lot of time catching up on some TV shows that have been DVR'd and rereading A Song of Ice and Fire, rereading all the Walking Dead comics, and that's honestly pretty much it. I was spending an awfully lot of time online, especially with modding, and I just, I don't know, had a bit of a rough time and had some people yelling at me and calling me names and saying other unnice stuff that just wasn't true just because I didn't get their way. And I got really fed up with it and decided I kind of needed a break. So after Extra Life, I logged out. Oh, you know, that's actually kind of strange because when I had Extra Life, my power went out. And then it came back on like 7 minutes later, like just a few minutes later. I finally got everything like logged back on and then it went out again. And I just said, screw it, and went to bed. Like, I was like, this is a sign of some sort that I need to just get away from it all. And Extra Life was cool. I was having a lot of fun, but like, you know, there were like 15 people on PSN that I was trying to play with. I was trying to find time to finish that stupid game Daniel's always bitching about. Half-Life. No. But yeah. Half-Life, and then the power goes out, and it was just like, it all just kind of came like crashing down right then. So, basically, I stayed offline for the next few weeks after that. I mean, I checked in every now and then.
Speaking of Extra Life,
yeah,
we're currently sitting at 98% of our goal, and our goal is $11,111.
Yes.
And for those of you that can't do math, that means we have $10,943.
We are almost there.
Wow. So we
we're
just
really
need
close.
A little bit to get us over the hump.
Maybe.
Yep.
Jack and Daniel, you know what I think? And you guys can chime in here in a second. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm thinking that maybe not everybody knows that you can still donate. What do you guys think about that?
I think you're right. You're onto something here.
In fact, there's probably a certain time of the year that people are able to donate until where it counts for this year. Jack, do you know specifically when that might be?
I think it's early December. I don't know specifically what the date is.
I think it's like a month. We got like another month.
Yep.
I would agree. So we can still make that final goal. So let me recap. So we went from our initial goal of what, 4,444.
Yep.
To 8,888. And then somebody got to feeling real cocky and upped it to 11,111. And we ended up right now at just shy of 11,000. So we need like $120, something like that, right?
Yep.
Right.
That's
we need $68 to make it.
Oh, we only need $68.
Wait.
No.
Let me check my math.
So speaking of people that don't know
I lied. You're right. I'm wrong.
So we need someone. So
yes.
If you still want to donate, feel free to do so. But, man, how much did the event overall raise? Do you know?
By itself?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think we raised around...
Extra Life is an organization.
Oh, overall, I think it broke $2
million. Yeah, it was like almost double last year.
I heard it was around $3
million.
Why do I feel like I heard $3 million?
It may have grown. That's amazing. Think about it, you guys. This event, not last year, but the year before, raised about $300,000, which is to sneeze at. I mean, that's awesome. But in 2 years, it's went from, you know, raising $300,000 to it's at least close to $3 million this year. And
yeah.
I know, you know, I'm not one of those statistical people. I can't crunch numbers and come up with all kinds of algorithms and tell you why things happen. But I do know one common denominator from 2011 to 2012. You guys know what that common denominator is?
That would be you, Jeremy.
Yep.
Team GIO. any coincidence that in the 2 years that we have participated as a group, that Extra Life as an organization has grown exponentially and tremendously. So everybody should pat themselves on the back, go out and buy themselves a nice cherry cola or whatever soft drink they like, sit back and reflect on the events of October 20th and say, you know what? Somewhere, some kid is getting a new kidney or liver or heart or leg or whatever because of something I took part in, because that's pretty damned impressive. So good job to everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, last year we raised something around $2,500.
Yeah.
This year we've raised, you know, four times that. A little bit over four times that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we keep this up next year, that'd be even better.
Yeah, this year was
that'd be more money.
Spot on there. No, it's awesome. I was amazed at the job the community done, and everybody, you know, Tim and Ben and everybody from the staff that participated, and, you know, Jack, the job you did, Noob did an amazing job, and Stranger is a great example of somebody that he ended up raising quite a bit of money, but early on he didn't think he was going to be able to, but the people that he helped to recruit and the enthusiasm that he showed and the spark he started, you know, really had a big impact on this. So he deserves a lot of recognition and praise. And so does everybody that helped out. And I don't know if we ever figured out who that dude was that donated, what was it, $770 or something like that to Tim in one donation. That's just amazing stuff. Gamers rock. So every time I'm banning somebody for calling somebody a nasty name in a Call of Duty article, I'm just thinking, you know what? This is just one person, because I know that everybody else here on GIO has a heart of gold and, you know, just is awesome. So the few aren't going to speak for us all, because together there's not much we can't do.
All right, enough with this much crap.
Yeah.
I just need to get my tissues.
No, Jim.
You made Daniel cry.
Jim, yeah. I O this year was amazing. Extra Life was amazing. Next year, it'll be even better, but we're not going to worry about that for a little while.
At least a month or two.
Yeah.
So, guys, we haven't talked about the biggest news yet that happened while we were gone.
Oh, I bought an iPhone. I forgot.
No. That's crap. No. Throw that in the garbage.
Lucasfilm was
bought by Disney. Guys.
So, you know what that means? Kingdom Hearts 3 is not only going to have Final Fantasy characters, but it's going to have Disney characters and Star Wars characters. Epic! Amazing!
Well, that would be really cool if Kingdom Hearts 3 was ever going to come out, but even better, we're going to get a new Star Wars movie in 2015.
I thought it was 2013.
No, it's 2015.
What's 1313? Somebody.
1313 is the Star Wars movie.
Oh, Star Wars movie. We're getting a movie. Okay. Movie game. I'm sorry. Yes, so episode 7, right?
Yep.
Somebody should write a blog about that and explain the whole concept to idiots like me that don't really know much about it.
Yeah. Someone should do that.
Yeah, someone really should get on that.
So, guys are bigger Star Wars fans than I, so what makes you excited, Jack?
Well, so first off, George Lucas is actually giving away, it's either $2 billion or $4 billion to education, to help educate people. Children.
Just like general, like school education, or to educate people on Star Wars?
I think school education, to fund education programs.
He's going to spend $4 billion to bribe people into thinking that Han truly did not shoot first.
Well, look, that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, okay?
Oh, okay.
So it's already happened.
Is it Astro Galaxy? All right, okay, so tell me about this flick, man. Tell me about this merger. Tell me about all this stuff.
So from what I understand, George Lucas is the sole owner of Lucasfilm. And Lucasfilm, I believe, also consists of his special effects company, Industrial Light and Magic. And it includes the rights to Star Wars and all that jazz. And sold that for $4.5 billion.
To Disney.
Yep. And he got about half that in cash and the other half in Disney stock.
So it's got tickets to Disney. He's got $2.25 billion worth of Disneyland tickets.
Yeah.
Nice.
and so this deal must have been in the works for a while for them to just announce right off the bat that there's going to be a new Star Wars film in 2015.
Yeah.
And they right away released a promo with Darth Vader in Disneyland. That kind of tips you off to that, too. And so there are a lot of things people still don't know about the movie. For one, who's directing it, because George isn't directing it himself. He's just coming on board as a creative consultant. And I'm guessing that just means he'll probably get paid for doing something that involves just him.
I heard M. Night Shyamalan is directing it.
I don't think that Disney would let that happen.
No, I saw it on the internet.
I saw that too, and I just don't think that's gonna happen.
Okay.
No.
So before, and I'm gonna let you finish, Jack. I'm gonna let you have your turn. Mm-hmm. But
oh yeah,
I'm a little bit concerned about this. Not because I know much about Star Wars, because clearly I don't. Not because I really know a ton about Disney, because clearly I don't. But Disney now owns everything. They own Marvel. They own Star Wars. They own something else that I forget.
ESPN.
Yeah, they own
ABC.
Theater,
ABC. ABC.
Hulu.
Hula Hoop. I think that they own Jack in the Box. And if I remember right, they're part owner and Aunt Terry's toddler daycare on 3rd Street. This is just...
Oh, my gosh.
It's a lot. No, but seriously, I wonder at what point they're going to become almost too big. That's... I mean, wow.
Well, I mean, they're kind of like a more child-friendly Google. They secretly own everything.
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess
I don't want to see the day where it's like every single Marvel movie or Star Wars product or whatever ends up having these cheesy crossover cameos just because.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's already well, been, I mean, but I watch SportsCenter and I have to see all these Disney characters constantly being promoted.
Really?
Yeah, always. So now it's going to be not only Disney, it's going to end up being, you know, Darth Vader and Spider-Man and who knows what else. It's just a thought that crossed my mind. But probably won't have that big of an impact, but I do.
Because I was under the impression, because I don't watch a whole lot of cable, but I was under the impression that they generally keep their brands very separate because they don't want ESPN associated with Disney.
No, ESPN and ABC are all very much associated. I will say that so far they've kept Marvel off to the side, and I probably would expect them to do the same thing with Star Wars. But yeah, ABC is constantly promoting Disney and
yeah.
And
well, yeah, ABC
and ESPN.
But I don't watch a whole lot of ESPN, so
let me not take my word for it, but I promise you it's true.
So Disney owns Star Wars now.
So wait, what? Is there any synopsis on what the plot's going to be to episode 7? That is what it is. It's not episode negative 1 or episode 2.
No, it's going to be a sequel to the original trilogy.
So it'll take place in time after episode Empire Strikes Back? Or after
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. I would much rather that story be over and they just do a Star Wars set in another galaxy far, far away. Yeah, maybe not quite as long time ago.
Well,
or something. I don't know. I'm happy with how it ended with the Ewoks and everything and Hayden Christensen reappearing. And I'm just done. I don't want to know about Han and Leia's child or anything. I'm good. I'm good.
I'm with you.
See, here's how I'm kind of looking at it. We don't know the specifics of what the story is going to be. Because we don't know if they're going to stick to what's been thought of as canon for what happens after Return of the Jedi, because there's a whole bunch of comic books and novelizations that deal with what happens after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So one path that the movies could take is there's this comic series called Dark Empire, where it turns out that the Emperor actually has clones of himself prepared in the case that he dies, his Sith spirit will come and reform inside of his Emperor body clone. In Dark Empire, he's not actually dead, and the rebels still... I haven't read it all the way through yet. I'm still in the process of doing that. But I believe...
Go ahead.
Luke... What?
Go ahead.
I believe Luke turns to the dark side in order to undermine the Emperor. What I'm trying to say here is I hope it doesn't go... that doesn't happen, because that would be kind of weird and dumb. What I'm kind of hoping for is kind of a Knights of the Old Republic approach to the Star Wars sequels, where it can be a sequel that deals with the aftermath of Return of the Jedi, but you know, the Star Wars universe is huge. You can set it in a different place in that same galaxy. You could set it 100, 200 years in the future, and you know, still have cameos from Jedi ghosts or something. But somebody said this, I don't want to see my childhood heroes. I don't want to see Han Solo and Luke Skywalker as old.
No, and I don't want to have to buy another stinking special edition box set just because they decided to make one more flipping movie. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, they have 6 movies planned out.
6 more?
They've confirmed that they're going to make 3 more, but George Lucas has said he has 6 more in his head ready to go.
Oh, shut the front door. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll make 6.
Actually,
but
I'd rather see them do that than 1. I honestly would.
Well, they are doing 3. It's going to be a new trilogy.
Oh, okay.
What I'm hoping for is, because Knights of the Old Republic, the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game, proved to me that there are tons more stories waiting to be told in the Star Wars universe, and waiting to be told well. And there are just so many cool things that they could do with that property if they had the right director and the right story to tell.
Do you think that the mainstream will accept that, though, if it's not the characters that everybody knows or that people think they know?
I think if they market it well enough, I think the mainstream would... They could... It's Star Wars. I think it's just the name. I don't think you need to even know that. I think it would be fine. It's Star Wars, and it has the same elements. It has the lightsabers, it has the action, and it has the space battles. Yeah, and the Jedi.
Yeah.
And this one didn't have, the prequels, they did have some characters, but you didn't know Qui-Gon Jinn before you met him in episode one, and you didn't know Jar Jar.
Didn't care when he died.
Yeah. No, I think it would be, I'd like to see some of that other lore explored too. I would actually watch that. I'm just not sure that.
Well, here's one thing to think about. With the prequel movies, George Lucas directed all three of those. With the original Star Wars trilogy, George Lucas only directed Star Wars. And here's a fun little fact. George Lucas directed THX-1138. Then he went on to direct the movie American Graffiti. And then he did Star Wars.
But he also was doing like a bunch of coke back in those days. Things were just different.
But wait. Then he didn't direct another movie for 22 years.
No. He directed
Indiana Jones.
He directed Roger Rabbit, didn't he? Or the duck one?
He did a lot of like background stuff.
Okay.
But I don't think he was credited as a director in any other film until the prequels.
So what part did he have in Indiana Jones?
In Indiana Jones, he was an executive producer.
Producer.
Okay.
So basically, he was just there to give ideas and pitch ideas at them, which is, I think, kind of the same thing that he'll be doing for this Star Wars Episode 7, 8, and 9.
All right, but Jack, he's at the point right now where he has the kind of clout where he can pitch stupid ideas like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and people will actually put money behind it and make it a movie.
It's one of those things where, sure, he may not be the director, but the director... It's kind of like Jerry Jones in the Dallas Cowboys. He's not the coach, but the coach does everything he says.
Well, here's also the thing. With the prequels, he had complete creative control over them. Like, he was the one bankrolling them. He was the one with the rights to the material, all that stuff. Now that Disney has those rights, they can just say, no, we're not doing that. That's a bad idea. And
that's true.
And since Disney also has quite a bit of clout behind them,
they do.
Since, given the fact that they just threw $4 billion at him, they have the money and have made blockbusters in the past, so they know what they're doing. Yeah. And I'm willing to.
If they can afford to lose hundreds of millions of dollars on movies like John Carson or whatever that was called.
John Carter. Right. Man, that movie was Carson, awful.
Whatever. Yeah, that movie didn't work.
Okay.
So, basically, I'm just rehashing my blog post here, but...
Oh, you did write a blog?
I did write a blog post about this. Basically, Disney has a huge what-not-to-do list for the next Star Wars trilogy, because they have the prequels, which were horribly received by fans and didn't do nearly as well as people thought they would.
Really? I always thought they were pretty successful.
Well, they did well, but I mean, imagine if they had been consistently good movies, you know?
Like Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And so they have the prequel movies, and then they have the knowledge of what happens when you milk a franchise too much, even if it's super successful, a la Pirates of the Caribbean.
True.
And they just recently tried to start their own epic sci-fi franchise with John Carter that has a huge backlog of stories, and that went awfully for them because they skimped on the actor, actress, and they put a director who couldn't quite handle all of that stuff and all of the scenes that they had attached to it.
It was his first real-time movie.
It sounds like they know what they did wrong in that movie. It really does.
So, I mean, it seems to me like after all of this, they should, and besides the fact that it's freaking Star Wars, I mean, in the cinema scope, I mean, it's the movie that invented blockbuster movies.
Yeah, along that time in a theater somewhere in the middle America.
So they have the movie to do, they have the money to do whatever they want. They could hire anybody to do anything in that movie.
I think they should hire you, Jack, and you, Daniel, and then, of course, me, but I don't want to actually work. I just want the money.
Well, we'll hire you as a caterer. How's that?
That's a ton of work. I need to be a consultant. A consultant doesn't do shit.
You can be just a have consultant.
Caterers? You can just eat a lot?
I'll consult the caterers, I guess.
Test the food?
So, that's quite the insight on that whole Star Wars thing. I didn't know all that information, Jack. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, no problem.
There's a pretty major game that came out that we'd be remiss if we didn't at least talk about, fellas.
What are you talking about?
It's the new Professor Layton game.
Okay, yeah.
And also there's a new NASCAR game that came out that said, I think it's called NASCAR, it's not just left turns anymore or something like that.
And
Did you say NASCAR?
NASCAR.
It's a knockoff NASCAR game?
That's right.
Two Cabela's games also released.
Nice. Okay, seriously, Halo 4. I can't believe that us three cool cats are sitting here and we haven't even brought it up yet. How is that possible?
You know, I'm going to commit a gaming heresy here and just say that I have never been super ecstatic about Halo. I just don't get really excited about it.
So join us next week, folks, when we have our new host joining us to replace Jack. Seriously. Have you played any of the Halo games, Jack?
I played Halo Reach. It's the only one I bought. And it was okay. I didn't really get a whole lot out of it besides, this is a shooter. It's fun. I mean, I love playing online multiplayer with my friends, like four-screen co-op online. That's super fun for me. But the single-player campaign was just kind of meh. I mean, especially when measured up against games like BioShock.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean,
I agree.
BioShock or Metro 2033, yeah.
Okay.
It's just not as compelling for me to play through.
So you're not the biggest Halo fan?
No, I'm not. Like, I like it. I have nothing against it. It's just, in terms of first-person shooters, I think other games kind of do it a little bit better.
What about you, my good man, Dan? Yo?
Yeah, I've had a love-hate relationship with the Halo franchise since Halo 2, pretty much. It annoys me that it hasn't really evolved as much as I wanted it to.
Has the combat evolved?
That was a good one. It was almost as good of a pun as your Halloween costume. No, but like, I have very fond memories of Halo. It's kind of, I have kind of that nostalgia factor with Halo because, like, Nick, my roommate, and I we played the first one in high school together for like a week nonstop, just every day going over each other's house and playing it. And ever since, I've enjoyed all of them, and I am kind of interested in the story, and I like those characters, and I'm really intrigued with what they're going to do with what they're doing with Cortana and Chief in this one, because those are two characters we should care about the most. And I don't know. I've always kind of enjoyed them. They're not my favorite. Like, you know, they're not Half-Life for me. They're not BioShock, but I still enjoy them, and I'm interested in the story, so I'm excited for Halo 4.
So you're gonna play Halo 4 then?
I am. It's sitting right next to me. I just can't play it. I promised Nick I wouldn't until he got home. So.
Okay. I think my thoughts on it are, I agree that BioShock is way better.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never played any of the Halo games, not for any specific reason. It's not that I don't like them. In fact, I think I probably like the campaign. I tend to like the more non-traditional, non-military type shooters, like Resistance and Killzone. And I would only imagine that Halo is it's not Call of Duty or Battlefield by any stretch, right? But I probably wouldn't play the online because I just don't play online. Multiplayer shooting online anyway. So I may play it at some point, but.
In defense of the franchise, though, the one thing about Halo is I feel like it's the new generation's Mario in that they nailed the gameplay so well in the first one that, like, just shooting things and playing and fighting and playing around with the weapons and all the options that you have at your disposal on the battlefield and just figuring out the different strategies to use, and the multiplayer, the same thing, like the way they balance it, they just nailed it so well in the first one and the second one with the multiplayer. Like, just the core elements of the gameplay are so well done that they haven't had the need or desire from fans or anything to change it as much as maybe I would want them to. And they can get away with that because it's so good. Like, Mario hasn't really evolved much, except for the jump to 3D, but since then it hasn't evolved either. So, it's the same kind of thing, in my opinion. And that's all right. If you love Halo and you love that gameplay, then more of it is okay.
Yeah, more of a good thing is not a bad thing, ever, in my opinion. I don't fault it at all, and I certainly wouldn't fault. I don't even fault Call of Duty for that, so I'm not going to fault Halo for that.
Right.
Yeah. Well said. I don't really have anything to add.
So, any other burning topics you guys want to discuss? Did we cover everything? Talked about
well,
the
I think
burning.
We're missing one thing.
What's that?
The Indian Mojo Show
shout outs. That was good, Jack.
Thanks. Very good. You, sir, are a gentleman, scholar, and good judge of fine blogs.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
So what fine blogs have you judged this week, Jack?
This week I have weighed all of the blogs carefully on my special blog weighing scale, and determined that Tim Groover, his blog, Know Your Game Informer Editor's Quiz, is worthy of being shouted out. If you didn't see it, it came out November 1st, so a few days ago, and it's just a small quiz on how well you know the Game Informer editors. I got a kick out of it because I know them personally, so it was just kind of fun to see.
There he goes again, Daniel. Yes, we all think you're so cool, Jack.
We've heard this before.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
since you're their best friend, did he at least get it right? Most of it?
He got most of it right. One of them that was a little bit off, he was asking about he might have fixed it, but he was asking who films Replay, and Jason Ostreicher.
Mm-hmm.
I probably am saying his name wrong. I'm sorry, Jason. You just have a weird last name.
Jason O.
he's the guy that actually sits in the Replay room and make sure everything's streaming right and the sound levels are okay and recording. And there's not actually a camera filming the screen or anything. It's just getting streamed straight into a computer. And Ben Hansen generally takes care of more of the live action, like camera work and stuff like that, and editing that stuff. Jason's the guy you want to thank for Replay.
I would agree with that. So Daniel, now that we've heard Jack's fabulous appointee for this week's Indian Mojo Show community shout-out, I have to think that that you have a very special person to shout-out as well. I could be wrong, but you tell me, Daniel. You tell me.
No, I do. This person shouts out other people every week, all the time, and doesn't ever get shouted out himself anymore. So that shout-out's going to Saint for writing the blog. I was there for the Halo 4 Midnight release, and I thought it was a really entertaining little rundown of his night at waiting in line for Halo 4 with his daughter, and I didn't even realize he had kids. I don't know what that says about him. Maybe you should talk about your kids a little bit more, Saint, huh? No, I just, it was really nice. It was cool that, he shared that with us and, the pictures and everything. I liked it. It was fun.
I too enjoyed that blog.
Yep.
Very good. Couple, people I want to mention before I do my shout out. Oni no Tenshi had her baby, so yay, Oni, congrats.
Yeah. Hello.
Also recently, Noob Tubinator has spent one full year on Game Informer, so congrats, Noob. Please don't go anywhere because we like having you around.
Indeed.
Indeed and Mojoed. And Jacked. Jacked, Indeed, and Mojoed. You guys see what I did there? Do I need to explain that to you?
No.
Okay. Well, instead of wasting time making stupid, terrible jokes, I could just get on with it. And my shout-out goes...
That escalated quickly.
That's what she said. Sorry. Goes to Gold versus Silver, a blog simply entitled In Honor of Ellipsis. And basically it's a rundown of the history of Halo. And it's a very good rundown that has more letters in the tags than many people use an entire blog. That's not meant to be a criticism. That's cool because you can tell all the stuff that's in there. Anyway, it's 5 pages full of great Halo history and information. And for somebody like me that hasn't experienced the series, I was able to read through it and get a very, very, very good understanding, in my opinion, of Halo. Halo in a nutshell. But a big nutshell. So good job, Alex. I'm proud of you, and I'm glad that you came back to Game Informer finally. You've been away too long.
Good job.
Did you guys vote today? You don't need to tell me for who or anything like that. Just did you do your civic duty and did you vote?
Not today, but I had voted.
Did you have some tea ballot? Yeah.
Yep.
I did my civic duty, sir.
Okay, so before we log off here, according to Yahoo, although there's still lots of places that need to report and there's lots of battleground states that still haven't been decided. Currently, President Obama has 227 electoral votes, and Mitt Romney has 187. Ooh, that's kind of creepy. So good luck, gentlemen. May the best man win, and no matter who wins, I hope that we can find a way to move forward as a country and support our president. One way.
Wait, Jeremy.
Yes.
We just talked about politics.
Yes.
By the laws of the internet, we must now battle each other to the death.
Did we really talk about politics, or did you guys listen to me say some stupid crap? I mean, there's a bit of a difference.
Both.
Well,
okay. So
next time I see you, I'll have to get my gun.
Okay, so there's three of us, and we have to battle each other to the death. I'll tell you what. You guys go first, and I'll take the winner.
All right.
When okay. you say battle to the death, it means so you're both dead, right?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, the winner will be tired out, so you guys go ahead and go first. And I'll pick a champion. I'm going to pick the mountain that rides as my champion. Not that I like him, but he can fight.
So I'm cutting you off. Nick just got home, and that means I can play Halo 4 now.
Okay, well, so. Congratulations, Nick
yep.
and Daniel. And Daniel, go out and find yourself an amazing job sometime this week, because, as always, I'm counting on riding on your coattails.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can you do that for us?
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap this thing up so you can go play your Halos.
All right. That was episode 51 of the Jacked Up Indian Mojo Show. Thank you, Jack Gardner, for joining us this week.
Well, for being here.
You join us every week, but thank you, Jeremy, for joining us this week as well.
Thank you, Jack, for setting aside your true Game Informer friends so that you could spend a few
yeah.
minutes with your humble servants this week.
And thank you, Indy Jones, for thanking me for being on here.
Thank you.
Because really, I'm the greatest gift this show has.
That's for sure.
Around the world and back again.
We would be nothing.
You're a pal and a confidant.
That Golden Girls?
The party. You invited everyone you knew.
You Are you singing Golden Girls?
Biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, yep, I am.
Just do the thank you for being a friend, because that's all I know of that
being a friend. I miss the Golden Girls. Back when sitcoms were real.
Right.
It's a good old
day. All right.
All right, guys.
That's the show. Wait. You stay classy, Game Informer.
Thank you for stopping by. And remember, get your pet spayed or neutered.
I love Star Wars.
Don't we know it?
Yeah.
We know it.
Yeah.
Ah, shut up. You loved every minute of it.
It's a lifeless life with no fixed address to give. But you're not mine to die for anymore, so I must live.